time, and we'll get to our Wednesday night message back in the book of what? What book are we studying?
Colossians.
Amen. Colossians. Colossians, and we're in chapter 3 now. We've begun a new chapter. And praise the Lord for Alex finding someone that'll take that bumper stick and put it on their car. I meant to tell you all, any of you who know anyone, not to be a Christian, anyone who would be willing to put it on their car, let me know. We have 4 left, and when we have to, we'll order some more. But they are $4 a piece, so if you're not going to use them, get them back to me. Yes?
You should have done that when you saw those cruisers out
in
front of your house,
you just like, I'm
putting on each of them.
On the police cruisers? Might get arrested for that. Oh, boy. These are just ways of getting the word out, you know. And the thing that I really like about the site is it has the plan of salvation, that anybody can get saved by going there, you know. The simple plant gospel. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3 tonight. As we get back to our studies in the book of Colossians last week, you remember we started the practical section of the book, which is chapters 3 and 4. The first and second chapters of the book are the doctrinal section or the teaching section, where Paul gives you the facts, and then in the last half of the book, he gives you the practical side, what we're to do with that knowledge. Amen? And that's how he operated by the Holy Spirit. It's really amazing when you study that thing out. But praise the Lord, people. Look with me here. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word tonight. We're going to cover 2 more verses, and that would be Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For memory's sake, we'll back up and we'll read all 4. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for these 2 new verses that we're about to explore, and we thank you for the glorious truths that are contained in these 2 verses. Lord, it seems that the Word of God is so chock full of buried treasure that we can, it's like an artesian well. It never runs dry. We can never exhaust it. It never runs out. And it's living water, oh God. And we're so thankful for that, the effect that it has upon us, because it truly washes us on the inside. And that affects us on the outer man. Lord, we just ask you to bless your Word to us tonight here in Colossians chapter 3. And help us to learn what meaneth these things that the Apostle Paul gave us by the Holy Ghost so long ago, that we might take and apply these truths to our daily lives today as your people in the world. We thank you for what you're going to do and what you're going to reveal by your Holy Spirit now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Last week we saw clearly that we have been risen with Christ, and that because of our new life in him, verse 1, we are now to be seeking those things which are above. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, set your affection. Now remember, affection is what the mind and heart desires. So we're to set what our mind and heart is desiring upon what? Things above. Look at that. Upon things above. Now, we know who is above. Jesus Christ. Amen. We're to be seeking him, and that daily, by his Holy Spirit within. So as we come to verse 3 and 4 tonight, beloved, the Apostle Paul gives us 5 incredible truths to consider. Notice first that we have already died positionally. Look at verse 3 with me. We've died positionally speaking. He says, for ye are what?
Dead.
Wait a minute, I thought I was alive. I thought I was breathing and walking and talking and preaching right now. No, the Bible says, ye who have trusted in Jesus Christ have died positionally. Okay, you're still breathing, but judicially speaking, in the court of heaven, they've held your funeral. If not, you could sin and lose your salvation. I'm gonna show you this from the Bible. Now, listen, every born-again believer has legally or judicially died to all that he or she once was as a child of Adam. Are you following me? We have been cut off from our original head, which is Adam, and grafted into our new head, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God views all born-again believers. No longer in the family of Adam, we've moved into a new family, the family of Jesus Christ. He's the second Adam. How many of you remember the television show when you were a kid? Well, at least when I was a kid, the Addams Family. Da-da-da-da. 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 Listen now. The Addams Family song. They're creepy and they're spooky. They're all together goofy, mysterious and kooky. The Addams Family. Da-da-da-da. Hey! That was us. Mysterious and kooky, creepy and goofy, all together creepy. I mean, we were in the Addams Family. That was us. Remember Uncle Fester? You remember Cousin It with all the hair? You never saw his face. How about Lurch? I mean, you rang. You know, we got some weird bunch there. You know, the Addams Family. That's Adam's race. Da-da-da-da. I'm glad I'm no longer in that family. Amen. I'm in the second Adams Family. The second Adams Family. Amazing Grace is a new song. Amen. We're no longer in that first Adam. We've died to the Adams Family. And we're in the new family of God. Glory to God. Look in chapter 2 of Colossians. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be what?
Dead.
With Christ, notice we're dead with someone. You didn't do it yourself. That's the beauty of identification. It's what he did for us, church. He died for us, and we died with him. On that cross, we died to sin. Well, I'm so glad of that. Look in Romans chapter 6. We're famous for going to Romans chapter 6, and that is because it's so important. Amen? You can't live in the New Testament without going to Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 regularly, child of God. Look at what the question in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we, born-again people, sin because that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that, what? What's that say? Our present tense, dead, live any longer therein. He says, why would a guy buried 6 feet under, down in the cemetery, sin? He can't sin. He's dead, right? And he says, that's how God sees you. You look at the wording in verse 2. How shall we that are, present tense, not someday will be, but already are, dead to what? Sin. You are dead to sin because they've been removed from you by the blood of Christ. It took holy blood to do that, right? But I'm so glad that we're no longer in Adam's family. We're dead to that. First of all, we're dead to sin. It says here in verse 2. Second of all, we're dead to the world. Flip back to the book of Galatians. I don't mean back. I mean forward in your Bible, but back to the epistles of Paul. To Galatians, and look with me at Galatians chapter 6. And whoever gets there first, read us verse number 14.
But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
Now notice this crucifixion. It's not to sin. We already saw that we're dead to sin in Romans 6, 2. Here, we're dead to what?
The world.
We're dead to, okay, so let's follow the progression. We're dead to sin. Now, we're also dead to the world. We're crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to us. It has no power over us. Thirdly, we're dead to the flesh. Here's a good one. If you're still in Galatians, flip back to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Somebody read verse 24.
The flesh with the affections
Now look at there in verse 24 what Ellie just read. They that are Christ's. Church, are you Christ's? Do you belong to Jesus? Yes, everybody say yes, Pastor.
Yes, yes.
You belong to him. You're Christ's, meaning his property. And he says, look what he says. And they that are Christ have, it's a done deal, have crucified the what? The flesh. The flesh is crucified. How'd that happen? With him 2,000 years ago. He pulled you back in time. Some, I don't understand it. I just believe it because the Bible says so. Amen. So we're dead to the world. We're dead to the flesh. We're dead to sin. And one more, we're dead to the devil. We won't take the time to go there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, he had the power of death over you. Not anymore. He destroyed him, it says, that had the power of death. So you see, we're dead to all these things now. So let's go back to Colossians, back to our text, and let's see that again. Verse 3, for ye are dead. Now we understand a little bit better why he says we're dead. Because we're dead to the world. We're dead to the flesh. We're dead to the devil. And we're dead to sin. Our four great enemies. We're dead to them through Jesus Christ. Not something that we could do, but something that he did for us in all four areas. Secondly, tonight, not only are we dead positionally, we've died, but secondly, Jesus Christ himself has now become our life. Look back at verse 3 again of Colossians 3. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, here is the beauty of salvation, that not only do we become dead to sin, which would have condemned us to hell forever, but we become alive to God, where Jesus Christ becomes our present life. Amen? He is now my life. He is now living in me, and I in him, and he has become my eternal life. This is eternal life and the true God, John said. To know him. Amen? Now, our spiritual life is not a religion. It is not a baptism. It is not in rules and regulations and laws or something that man can do. Our spiritual life is in a divine person. This is what separates true Christianity, I say true Christianity, from all other religions of the world. That true Christianity teaches that Jesus Christ is our salvation. A person is my salvation. Remember when Simeon, in Luke chapter 3, I believe it is, Simeon held up the baby, the Lord Jesus, and he held him up in the temple and he said, now may thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared to all people. He said, this little baby right here is the salvation of God for all people. It's a person. That was Jesus he was holding up, by the way. So I'm so glad, secondly tonight, that Jesus Christ is now our life. Go with me to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Somebody read us verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus.
Oh, you see what Esther just read? The Holy Spirit, through Paul's pen, gives us the geographical location of eternal life. He says, the promise of life, he's speaking of eternal life, which is where? Where's eternal life to be found? In Christ Jesus. So, if you want eternal life, you've got to somehow get into Christ Jesus. Did you catch it? You have to be positionally placed into the body of Christ. You have to be in Christ Jesus to have eternal life. Why? Because he is eternal life. The promise of life is not in a church. The promise of life is not in a sacrament. The promise of life is not in an ordinance. The promise of life is in a person named Christ Jesus, according to verse 1. Go with me to John. The Gospel of John. Here's a perfect picture of it where the Lord Jesus Christ himself explains it clearly to Martha. You know what happened in John 11. Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus, died, right? I should say Jesus let him die on purpose. This is good. Look what happens here. After he dies, Martha, her brother, gets mad at Jesus for letting him die. But it was all part of God's plan. He had it under control. Look with me in John chapter 11. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, If you bothered to show up, that's what she's saying. My brother had not died. She's in the flesh. She's not in faith. She's in the flesh here. She's upset at Jesus. You ever get upset at the Lord? Sure you have. Come on, don't look so pious. I have. Lord, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Not the time, Bob. Not the time. But I know that even now her faith's coming back. Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, the Father, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You see what Jesus said to her in verse 23? He said, stop sweating. I'm going to bring him back to life. That's what he just said. But she misunderstood what he said. Verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, she didn't get what Jesus was saying to her. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice the word life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Like your brother Lazarus right here. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Church, do you realize tonight that you can't die? You can't die. Someone who has eternal life cannot die. Now, you can transfer places geographically. You can go from earth to heaven. But you're not dead. You're alive with Jesus. Your body can stop breathing, but you're not dead. You are not your. You are not this. You are not your flesh. You are not what I'm looking at. You are an immortal, eternal soul. Okay? Jesus said, he that liveth, verse 25, he that liveth, verse 26, and believeth in me shall never die. I love that. That's why we don't fear death, Christian. Because we know we have eternal life. And death, or I should say physical death, is just a promotion to glory. It's just a swapping of places from here to there. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Her faith's coming back. And what does Jesus do? He comes along and he says, take the stone away. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth bound with the grave clothes. Could you imagine the sight and the stink, you know? He'd been dead for 4 days. Woo! In my back. And unwrap him. Jesus says, unwrap him. I love it. I love it. Jesus was trying to tell her, don't worry, I'm going to bring him back to life right here, today. He wasn't saying someday. Oh, praise the Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our life. Did you get it? Lazarus was a believer. Lazarus was saved. And Jesus was his life. Did you know that nobody ever died in the presence of Jesus? Lazarus died before he got there. No one ever died in the presence of Jesus. And whenever Jesus went to a funeral, the dead corpse came back to life. I'm serious, church. Study it out. One preacher, he said one time in a sermon, I heard him say, he said, I was doing this funeral. And it was a dearly beloved member of the church that had passed on to be with the Lord. And I wanted to find a passage of scripture where Jesus went to a funeral and did the eulogy so that I could say what Jesus said. And he said, you know, church, I couldn't find one because nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. And whenever he went to a funeral, the dead person came back to life. I love it. Why? Because Jesus is our life. Glory to God. Back to Colossians. Back to Colossians chapter 3. We've seen that we have already died positionally. We've seen that Jesus Christ is now our life. And that eternal. Thirdly, tonight, notice the promise of his return. Verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 4. What's that first word, somebody?
When.
When. It doesn't say if. It says when Christ, who is our life. I like that parenthesis. By the way, reminding you, he is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall what?
Appear.
Paul says by the Holy Ghost, he shall appear. It's just a matter of when. Glory to God. That's a done deal. That is a definite promise from the Word of God. That Christ shall appear. Notice the promise of his return in verse 4. It doesn't say if or perhaps or someday, somehow, maybe. It says when. He shall appear. That is a return to earth. Now, observe here that all those who have died with him to the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin, verse 3, and who now possess eternal life in him, now have this promise. You have a promise of his glorious return. Go with me to 1 John. Hold your place in Colossians. And flip over to 1 John. I love the epistles of John. They're awesome. They're all about truth and love and life. The epistles of John, you know what they were written to you for? Assurance of your salvation. That's what they're written for. Comfort and assurance that you can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life, present tense. Look with me in chapter number 2 of 1 John, chapter number 2. Look at verse 27. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, John, the Revelator, writes, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Somebody tell me, what is the anointing? That is the Holy Spirit. He abideth in you. Notice where he is in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. Oh, I just preached myself out of a job. Amen. You don't need me. You've got something way better. The Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at it. Ye need not that any man teach you. Why, John? But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit is your personal paraclete, your comforter and teacher. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, see that? When, not if, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John says here in verse 28 that he shall appear one day soon. Look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know something. That, what's the next four words? There it is again. That's the third time we read these four words. The first one is in Colossians 3 and verse 4. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I love how the Bible reiterates over and over and over the same truth to make you know that it's true. When he shall appear, ye shall appear with him, Brother Kyle, with a glorified body. Oh, I'm so glad he'll have no more sore shoulder, no more concussion, none of that stuff going on. Glory to God. What a blessing. Go back to the Gospel of John now, chapter 14. I'm so glad that soon and very soon he shall appear. The Bible promises this over and over. How about words in red? You believe Jesus? Oh, yeah, you believe Jesus. That's why you're in church on a Wednesday night. Look with me in John chapter 14. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, child of God. You believe in God? That's a good thing to do. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, where's that church? Heaven. Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what?
Come again.
And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. Jesus says here that he's going away and that he's going to come again for you and you and you and you and you and me. Glory to God. I am so glad he's going to come again. Acts. Flip ahead a few pages. You'll be in Acts chapter 1. Remember when Jesus ascended into glory? The disciples were perplexed and didn't know what to do. Watch what the angel tells them in Acts chapter 1 verse 9. And when he, Jesus, had spoken these things while they beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He went to heaven. His ascension. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, their angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so what? Come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. The angels say, mark this down, boys. Get your pen and paper out. He's coming back. And you can bank on it. Amen?
There's many things you can't count on in this world, folks. I'll tell you tonight. Don't count on the stock market. The Bible says it's going to crash one day. Yeah. Don't count on your bank account. Yeah. Obama might steal that. Don't count on things of this world. But there's one thing you can count on. Right. Jesus is coming back for you. Amen?
Good news tonight. Glory to God. Fourthly, back to Colossians chapter 3. Something else we notice here. We've seen that we've already died positionally. We've seen that Jesus Christ is now our life. We've seen that his promise of his return. Fourthly, observe who will appear with him when he comes. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall who? Ye also appear with him. Notice the words with him. Now, very important that you hear me. Notice here that we who have received him in this life will return with him at his second advent. Now, church, think with me. In order for you and I to appear with him at his second coming, we, the church, would have had to have been taken up to him at some point before his return to earth. Does that make sense? That means you have to be raptured before the second advent. Look at it again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. You see that? You're coming from heaven with him back to earth, people. It demands, I don't know how anybody can be post-trib rapture. It doesn't make sense. The Bible makes no sense if you follow that false theology. You have to be with him in order to come with him. Otherwise, he'd say, then shall ye meet him when he comes down. Verse 4. Doesn't say that. It says you're coming with him. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's run this down quickly to show that we will be taken out of this world before the second coming of Christ. Okay? It's clearly taught in the Bible. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. That's unknowing. He's not insulting you. It means unknowing. Concerning them which are asleep. Who's that? What dead? Right, Christian dead, not lost dead, Christian dead. Concerning them which are asleep, Christians who have died. That, notice he doesn't say died, because there's no death for a Christian. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. They sleep, their body sleeps until it gets up. That ye saw are not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you believe that? Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is the word of God, he says. And that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, second advent, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, Christians who are asleep in the grave, shall rise first. Then we, church, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall never be away from him again. Glory to God. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a glorious promise. It's called the rapture. Zechariah, go back with me to Zechariah. Go to Matthew and flip back three books and you'll be in Zechariah. And go to Zechariah chapter 14. You all know Zechariah 14, the context is the second coming, right? Now watch this, don't miss this. Malachi, for our Italian brother here.
In Greek it's Malachi, and I don't want to repeat what that is.
Malachi. Go with me to Zechariah, just before Malachi, chapter 14. Look at this verse. Don't miss this. Zechariah 14, and look at verse number 4. And his feet, that's Messiah, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now we've learned in our studies of the second coming, the eight stages thereof, that Jesus Christ will stand upon the Mount of Olives at the last day of the what?
Tribulation
period. So this is the end of the tribulation period is the context, right? Verse 5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. That's the Jews being delivered from Antichrist. For the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled before from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come. Who's that? The Son of God. And what? All the what?
Saints
with thee.
Church, you are a saint. Now, don't get puffed up, but the biblical terminology for a Christian is saint. What is a saint? It's not what the Pope claims to produce. A saint is a sanctified one. Every child of God, you're born again, you're a saint. You may not. Practical sanctification is something altogether different. Positionally, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That cannot be tarnished. You're a saint because you're in Christ, okay?
So he says in verse 5, the Lord my God shall come, second coming, and all the saints with thee. Those are saints who were raptured before the tribulation began, or else they couldn't be coming with him at the end of the tribulation period, church. This is so clear, you can't miss it unless you do it on purpose. And many do. 1 Thessalonians, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're almost done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at this. Speaking of this coming of the Lord Jesus at the end of the tribulation, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, someone read us verse 13.
To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
With who?
All his saints.
All his saints. Notice that. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with someone. He's not coming alone. He's coming with the church who will be riding on white horses and wiping out the armies of Antichrist for the Jews. I look forward to that day. Boko Haram, you're going down. Why? Because the King of Kings is going to slaughter them. Now, look with me finally, and then we'll move on. Jude. Just before Revelation, we have a mini revelation called the Book of Jude. Another half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he doesn't claim that so as to draw any attention to himself. In Jude, we know the context is Second Advent, which Enoch prophesied of prior to the deluge. In Genesis 5, Enoch told them the Lord is going to come twice. Because watch this, I'll show you that. In Jude chapter 4, Jude verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Remember him? What happened to Enoch? He got raptured. Remember that? God, he pleased God and God took him. He was raptured. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these reprobates, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. He's preaching the second advent. I'll show you that. With who?
10,000
of his saints. Multitudes, an innumerable company of his saints, sanctified ones who were born again and positionally sanctified in Jesus Christ. Why is he coming? Verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Somebody's ungodly. And all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See that? Ungodliness does not pay. It'll be judged. Now, finally tonight, go back to Colossians chapter 3. We'll finish up with my fifth point, and that is, notice and observe how we will appear with him. Look with me at verse 4 again. How shall we appear with him? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In glory. You are going to appear in glory with him. Folks, this is such good news. Flip over, back one page, you'll be there. Philippians chapter 3. Look at this. I want to show you that you're going to be in a state of glory when you appear with him at the second advent. Look at this. Verse 21. Somebody read it.
Who shall change our vile body,
yep,
that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able
even to subdue all things unto himself.
Yes, now notice what she read there about his glorious body. He says, our vile bodies will be changed and fashioned like his glorious body. We're going to appear in glory, folks. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is chapter 15 is the what chapter?
Of love.
Resurrection. You're thinking of 13. Resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. And look at verse 49. Don't miss this. And speaking of Christians, 1 Corinthians 15, 49. And as we, Christians, have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, human body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I love that verse. I had a church I was pastoring out in Colorado, and we had a plaque over the nursery. And it said, 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You'll get that. Verse 52. Every baby got their diaper changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive, shall be what?
Changed.
There's a rapture occurring. For this corruptible, see, they're alive with corruptible bodies. They're Christians, though. Must put on incorruption. And this mortal, they have a mortal body when he comes, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's a glorified body, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Glory to God. Why? Because we got glorified bodies at the rapture. That way we can come back with him in glory. We couldn't come back with him like this. We'd get destroyed by the Antichrist soldiers, you know. We're weak. But when we have glorified bodies, the Bible says once in Joel chapter 2, one shall fall upon a spear and it shall not hurt him. You're indestructible at that point. Glory to God. All right. Now, finally we see how we shall appear with him in glory, with glorified bodies. Let's get back to our text and we'll finish up. Colossians chapter 3. Look at it again. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In glory. In closing tonight, beloved, let me give you this. What a glorious future we have because of our blessed Redeemer and his finished work for us. Yes, soon and very soon, we will be taken up in rapture, and so shall we ever be with our dear Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Thank you, Lord, that when you do appear, and you shall appear, we who have already been raptured out shall appear with you in glory. Meantime, Lord, we've got a Christian life to live, and we can't do it. Not without the assistance of your Holy Spirit living in and through us the life that we could never live. Lord, I'm so glad that Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Lord, thank you for that grace. Minister to each of us by your Holy Spirit from within. And thank you, Lord, that as we seek those things above, where you sit at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, we glory in the truth as it is revealed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God within. We thank you for these things tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, which loves us. Thank you that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not even the devil himself. Thank you, Father. We love you tonight, and we pray that you'd be with us each and every day. In these last days, use us for your glory. Use us, Lord, to lead precious lost souls to Jesus Christ, that they might know this joyful sound that we hear, with ears to hear and eyes to see the things of the Spirit of God. Use us to reach the lost, not just here in Hooksett, in Manchester, in New Hampshire, but all around the world, through our website and through our missionaries we support, that multitudes of precious souls will be saved as a result of this church. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the people said, Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Glory to God tonight.